Are you glad you're here this morning?
Amen.
Amen. If you hadn't been here, you wouldn't get to hear those good songs. Right? By Steve and the choir. Thank Nancy for coming and playing for us this morning as well. Everybody knows Nancy. She's been here before. You know, I look out here and I see Nancy and I see Wyatt and Michelle. And we had privilege of serving together at Brush Your Fork, didn't we? Those was fun years too, weren't they? Wonderful years, just like here. It's wonderful being in house of God with people and who love the Lord, serve one, and we see God's hand in this church working every day. And God loves to work through prayer, doesn't he? I mean, that is one thing, one way that we can communicate with our Lord. Jesus made it a common practice to go to the Lord early in the morning or all day long, whenever he needed to know, have some wisdom from the Heavenly Father. And the passage of Scripture this morning is from Hebrews chapter 4. Looking at verse 14, tells us what we can do when we need assistance from the Lord. And the writer, whoever he was, wrote this, had insights from the Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, because all scriptures are inspired, are breathed by the Heavenly Father for us. Verse 14 says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confessions. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Does anybody have any weaknesses here today? Yeah, we all have them, don't we? And he's sympathetic to us with those. But one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Then the writer says, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and that we will find grace to help in time of need. Or another translation, when we need it the most. When we need it the most. There's a CEO of a large manufacturing company. Every day he made it a practice to go to the roof of this company, and I believe it was an administrative building. He would go up there to pray. And he would go up to the roof in this particular area just to pray, and then he would always lock the door behind him so he wouldn't be interrupted when he was praying. Just so happened, this particular day, there was a fire. And he ran back to the door to go down, to warn people, and to exit himself, but found, because of the fire, the system of that company had locked all doors down. So there's an intercom system throughout the company, so he went there and to call to the lower floor to warn people and to have those doors unlocked so he could get out. But because of the soot and everything else that had gathered on the intercom system, it had shut it down as well. So here he was in a dilemma, unable to communicate to get help or to warn other people. And when I think about that, what a perfect illustration when a prayerless life in our lives that we're unable or we don't communicate. You see, it's through that closeness and that relationship between our Heavenly Father that we are able to communicate, or He is able to communicate and warn us through our lives. So today, you may be praying for relief from pain. I know there's a lot of people that's dealing with pain. Financial burden, relief. You know, even restored family relationships. And there's a host of other things that we deal with on a daily basis. See, most people have some kind of burden in which they would like relief. There's a commercial, isn't it? Relief. R-O-L-A-I-D. And sometimes we need that kind of relief, don't we? But we oftentimes we're burdened because we need relief from some kind of issue or situation in our life, and we need the Lord's assistance. You may feel totally depressed like the psalmist David in Psalms 22:2, New Living Translation, where he says, "Every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night you hear my voice, but I find no relief." That was the psalmist David. Now, if you read the Psalms and some of the books that he wrote, seemed like he was in distress a lot, wasn't he? Does anybody feel like the psalmist David at any time in your life? He said, "I pray, but I don't have any relief." It was kind of like the Apostle Paul when he had the thorn in the flesh. He said, "I prayed 3 times. God said, my grace is sufficient." And sometimes that's what we go with, God's grace. It is sufficient. He knows what's best, and we are made strong. We, in our weaknesses, we are made strong with the Lord. You know, that is pretty desperate, yet other side of God's rainbow is the assurance of Psalms 23, where David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Then he says, "I have everything I need." He said, "I shall not want." Then, which means, I have everything I need when I have the Lord as my shepherd. Then he said, "He renews my strength. I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. My cup overflows." You see the difference in the tone of David from one moment to the next? Oftentimes we pray and, you know, we're in despair and everything. Then we remember the old saying, "This too will pass." Because we know that God will get us through those times of distress, situations, heartaches, whatever that might be. You see, when we pray first of all, we begin by praising God for His shepherding ability, supply with whatever we really need. So, my question is this morning to you, what is the primary condition for answered prayers? Jesus said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And then Jeremiah in 33:3, it's almost like God gave him his phone number. Jeremiah 33:3, you think about it, you read that verse, which says, "Call me." That's what God says to Jeremiah. "Call to me, and I will answer you. I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know." There's a lot of things we don't know. But we know the one who knows everything, don't we? And all we got to do is call upon Him. And that's why God is telling Jeremiah, "Call me. Call upon me if you want to know anything." Solomon, a man that God allowed him to lay it out there and say, you know, what would you desire for your life? He would give him anything. He said, I'll take the wisdom. We need wisdom probably more than anything else when it comes to making important decisions, knowing the knowledge of God, assisting us. So, access to God through prayer is a privilege, and it's a responsibility of every one of us here this morning. So I want to just share some things that will help us bring the reign of God so we will see His will in and through all of our lives. And first of all is encouraging. Prayer, to me, is very encouraging. See, the Holy Spirit encourages us to pray with confidence, with boldness, with certainty that God will answer our prayers. When you pray, I want to ask you, when you pray, do you pray with certainty, with boldness, anticipation that God is going to answer your prayer one way or the other? Yes, no, wait. I am certain that whatever we ask in God's name, of what His will, we'll know how to pray and God will answer according to His will. So, in verse 16, the writer of Hebrew wrote, he said, so let us come boldly. And that boldly can be in humility, but boldness, believing, anticipating, knowing that God is going to answer our prayers. So he said, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive mercy. And mercy means here is for our weaknesses, for our failures. And then we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. Appropriate help in time of need. So, you and I need to ask God for a holy boldness. See, that's the encouraging part of prayer. If we come to Him with holy boldness, the Lord, bring the things to Him that He desires in our lives and be thankful for the results that He's going to give. Oftentimes, when I pray, and you probably do too, I thank Him in advance for the answered prayers, for the results. Even though I may not know them at the time I pray, but I know it's going to be for my good and for His glory. So, that's encouraging. Then, oftentimes when we pray, the Heavenly Father, or Jesus Christ, He always said we need to confess our sins. When you pray, do you always confess your sins? I want to bring this to your attention. You all probably already know this, but I also bring it to my attention. If I want my prayers answered, if I want my relationship with Him continually flowing, then I've got to confess sin. Because sin will hinder our prayer life. Hey, husbands, if you're mad at your wife, your prayer is going to be hindered. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, your anger, right? But if we're angry or if there's something in our lives that should not be there, it's going to hinder our prayer life. And we can go to the Lord all day long and say, Lord, I need this. I know You're going to help me here and everything. But if you have sin in your life, the Lord is just going to sit there and say, okay, I'll deal with that just as soon as you get things right between me and you. Because God is not obligated when sin is present in our lives. So, there's that confession. And confession should not be that hard for a Christian. If the power of the Holy Spirit is very active in your life. Amen? I don't hear no amens. Amen? So, we need to activate the Holy Spirit in our lives and keep it continually flowing. So the Holy Spirit, see, is here as an aid to encourage us to confess our sins, the omission, our commission, disposition, and faulty preceptions. Okay? In Psalms 66:18, David again wrote, "If I cherish sin in my heart, the Lord will not have listened." Let me say that again. You might want to jot this one down. Psalm 66:18. The psalmist David said, "If I cherish sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." See, you and I need to humbly approach God. Approach His throne and ask Him to reveal our sin. Then be willing to confess all of the sins before Him. I don't know about you, but on Wednesday night, I look forward being here at 5:30, meeting together, as many of you have been coming on Wednesday night, and just pray. Isn't it such a presence of the Lord here at that time? Because He knows, and we know, that we're meeting Him here one-on-one. It's between you and the Lord, me and the Lord. Even though we're corporate, we're coming together. But when we meet here, first of all, we pray for self-renewal. And then we move on from there. And we realize that God is going to meet us exactly right where we are in our life. And He will start working in that area of our life, pointing at things and showing us where we need to make a change in our life. And it's always for the good. And sin can hinder our spiritual walk, that maturity that God is looking for in every one of our lives. You know, look at your age and go back to when you were saved and how far you have matured and you've gone up that spiritual ladder since you've been saved. You know, you ought to be just walking on cloud nine all the time, right? You should be, but we're not. Because there are ups and downs and the valleys in this life that we live. And see, the security that we have is knowing that the Holy Spirit, God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, is right here working and interceding for us as we bring ourselves to this altar. And it doesn't have to just be right here, but your altar, just like the CEO man went to his altar on the roof, though he had a problem that day. I hope he worked it out and he got off the roof okay. But that's the things that happen when communication is severed or broken between you, myself, and the Lord. So the conditions of prayer is that we must keep the communication way completely clear, that there's no obstacles, there's no locked doors, there's no sin. And it's not just mistakes or little errors in our life. The Bible calls it sin, right? Sin. So confession is the best thing to get rid of sin in our life. The best thing, not do it to start with. Avoid temptation, right? Okay, now, we talked about encouragement, then we talked about confession. Something else that the Apostle Paul talks about in his writing is walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. When I was just a young whippersnapper, 12, 13, 14 years old, I heard a lot of messages preached by various pastors and different ones on the walking in the Spirit. So I'd go home and I'd get my Bible out and I would go to the concordance index and so forth and look everything up on the Holy Spirit and say, what does it mean walking in the Spirit? Well, this one verse that I found has remained with me throughout my life, and it's Galatians 5:16, where it says, "Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." I like that. walk in the Spirit. If you're walking in the Spirit, then that is where your mind, that's where your heart and soul is concentrated. That's where your priority is. And then all the lust of the flesh and all the other things will not even be able to get its foot in the door of your life. Walking in the Spirit. And you might say, Mike, that's not that easy, walking in the Spirit every day. Well, I didn't say it was easy, did I? It's not. Nothing's easy. It's worthwhile working towards and setting your mind to it. Walking in the Spirit. I like that verse because it tells us what Paul, his heart, his mind was set upon was the Lord. See, the Holy Spirit fills us with Christ-like perspective so that we will be able to avoid walking according to our own selfish impulses. See, when you ask the Lord to help you to walk in a way that is pleasing to Him in all aspects, then He will be able to make you fruitful in every good work and in your prayer life. That's His promise. Not only walking in the Spirit, but desire and working from the Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit in and through you do God's work by supplying us with the desire to obey Him in every area of our personal lives and even down into the ministries of our church. See, the Lord is involved in all those areas. See, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are active, not only in our life, but in the church life, in all the ministries. And then when we come together and we pray here at this altar, not only for our own personal lives, for our families, for our schools, for our churches, other churches. You see, we want to pray for other churches as well because, you see, they deal with the same things that we deal with on a daily basis. And we need to lift up our sister churches and other churches that believe in the same God that we believe in order that we all be a part of adding to God's kingdom. See, we all do something differently, but we're all working towards the same goal, and that is to please our Heavenly Father. Amen? To please Him in all that we do. So, the Bible says that we are to pray even more for our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's our responsibility to do that. See, Paul wrote in Philippians 2:13, God is working you, energizing and creating in you the power and the desire both to will and to do His good pleasure. So Paul says He's at work in us to do these things. So our part is having a willingness heart, a heart of humility, so that the flow of the Holy Spirit will continue to help us to walk in the Spirit as we live for the Lord, as we do His will, His good pleasures. That's His will for us to do that. And then steering and supplying from the Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit steers us to and supplies us with the best fields that are ripe harvest. See, witnessing. See, that's part of our responsibility, is to witness, to sow the seed. Paul said, wrote in 2 Corinthians 9:8-10, where it says, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. 2 Corinthians 9:8-10. You see, Our next responsibility is to do exactly the harvest. Plant the seed. And if you want to see God's kingdom grow through your life, through this church, then our responsibility as believers in Jesus Christ is to sow seed. How many of you plant gardens? It's the easiest thing in the world to do, isn't it? All you got to do is throw the seed on the ground and it'll grow, right? You don't even have to cover it up. You don't even have to fertilize it, right? Wrong. If we do our part, God does His, right? If we would get our hands dirty, get down on our knees and dig in the dirt, do a little preparation, put the seed in there, cover it up, work it a little bit, hoe it and doing stuff, and before you know it, the most beautiful things come out of the ground, and it provides food for your table. You see, God has abundance of resources that He provides for us if we will just work. Didn't God in Genesis say that's what we were going to be doing the rest of our life? Working by the sweat of our brow? That's just an analogy of what we are to do as Christians in planting the seeds in the people that are lost, that they might grow up, that they will die to sin, and they will grow up and bear fruit. And that's what we are to. John chapter 15 says, I am the vine, you are the what? Branches. You who abide in me will do what? Bear fruit. Fruit. More fruit. And then more you get energized by the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit, then you will produce what? Much fruit. And then Jesus says, apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. So we got to realize that. So we've got a helper. Just like men, your helper is your wife, right? Our helper, when it comes spiritually, is the Holy Spirit. So when we don't know what to do or how to plant seed or even how to speak, or that's why Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. And see, that's where prayer comes is so important in our life. That we have a communication with the Heavenly Father to feed us, to give us the understanding. And that's why Jesus told His disciples, He said, I will tell you exactly what you need to say, when to say it, and where to say it, that you might be instrumental and a part of the kingdom of God, bringing people to me. You see, that is a part of our responsibility. And then we're told by the scriptures that we are taught by the Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit teaches us the best way to pray in the Spirit on all occasions. In Ephesians chapter 6, 18, it would be wonderful when we get the screen up here, we can see all this up here. If you don't, because a lot of you are not turning this morning. I don't hear the leaves turning, leaves of your Bible. But you may be on one of these, huh? Looking. How we do it, you know, we're in the Word and we're understanding that God is wanting to work in our lives. See, the Holy Spirit teaches us the best way to pray in all seasons and all occasions. In 6:18, the Apostle Paul said, pray in the Spirit at all times. Ephesians 6:18, pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion, stay alert, be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Aren't you glad we have the scriptures that gives us instructions that tells us plainly, exactly, as Christians, what we should be doing at all times? All of these here is scriptural based. And we don't have any excuse not to know what we should be doing as Christians. And then comes the abiding part. John 15:7. See, the Holy Spirit helps us learn the necessary conditions for answered prayer. And it's found right here in John 15:7. It says, if you live in me, which means abide virtually, united to me, is what Jesus is saying. And my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts. Ask whatever you will, and it will be done for you. You see, the Lord wants to be our advocate. He wants to be right there for us. He said, whatever you ask, I will give it to you. But it doesn't mean that we can ignore him 1 week or 1 month or 6 months and then just suddenly come to him in prayer and say, okay, this is what I need. This is what I want. It doesn't happen that way. You see, we go back to walking in the Spirit. When walking in the Spirit, that means we're walking in the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then whatever we ask at that time in our life, we will have his wisdom and understanding to know how he's going to answer that prayer. That means having the mind of Christ. We need to ask God to help us to live in him with our heart, soul, mind, and strength so that we can see more prayers answered. So I have many times tested the effectiveness of sudden prayer in moments of difficulty, when confronted with temptation, when overwhelmed with irritations. Has anybody ever been irritated this week? Well, you must have. You're laughing. How did you respond when you got irritated? Was it good or was it not so good? Or studying a difficult passage and even misplacing things, prayer comes in handy. This actually happened this week. You know those little flash drives that you carry around in your pocket? They can, just a flick of your thumb, they'll, you know, put them in your computer and you store all kind of gigabytes and all that stuff on there. I've had one, the same one, for 5 years, and I still hadn't gotten it full because it's got, I don't know, 16 gigabytes or 32, and I keep all my stuff on it. I bring it here. I use it at home. Everywhere I go, it goes. I keep it in my pocket until Tuesday. And, you know, I started sweating. All my information is on that one. I've got some others, but I don't have it backed up like I do on this one. Man, everything I've worked on this week, it's gone. I looked here, I looked at home, in the cars, everywhere, except in the yard. I covered my tracks and I went back, Lord, you know, I should have started with you first. I pray it be your will, I find this flash drive. You know how bad I need it. And you know what? I went back outside, looked at my cars, and I said, you know what? I'm going to look in the yard. And guess what? That's where it was. And Brenda had run over it 3 or 4 times with the mower because it was mashed down in the grass. I got it up. It was there overnight, I guess. It had grass, had mud and dirt all in it. And just so happened it had to be on grass because she mowed over it with the mower and so forth. But you know what? I cleaned it up and everything, stuck it in my computer, and it works. How about that? And I said, Lord, praise you. You see what I mean? A sudden prayer, asking God. In a blue moon, it had to be one of a million that I would go out in my yard, and there it is. I looked down, and there it was. And I couldn't see it clearly. But I reached down and moved some debris and grass, trimmings and all that stuff, and there it was. And I picked it up. And I said, "Thank you, Lord." I could have looked 1,000 places and never found it, but the Lord took me to that one spot. And I'm honest, as I stand here, He took me right there. You see what I mean about asking God to intervene in your weaknesses? He does. He will. So be a people of prayer. I know you pray, but we can do more than that. We can do better than what we do, can't we? We all. I'm talking about myself as well. Be a people of prayer. Be a person of prayer. Just not suddenly or whatever. Just occasionally. But day by day. Walking in the Spirit. Communicating with the Heavenly Father. And He will take you places you would not have dreamed of. I promise you. Let's pray. Our Father God, we just praise Your holy name this morning. We thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. It's always pleasant. It's always wonderful to knowing that You're always at work in our lives. And Lord, in those that may be here that doesn't have personal saving knowledge of Your grace and mercy. And we know Your Holy Spirit is always active. And we pray for all people that needs to know You personally. Maybe there'll be those here this morning, those that are not here. We continually lift up people in the name of Jesus. Family members, co-workers, friends, whoever it might be, we lift their names up to You. We lift them up in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I want to focus on prayer as well. You encourage us. You want us, You have a desire that we keep in close communication with You. And Lord, I pray that each and every one of us sitting here this morning will commit right where we are. And maybe we want to just come to the altar and just kneel here or stand here and just say, "Lord, whatever it is in my life that I need to yield to You, to be closer to You, to walk in the Spirit with You, to be fully surrendered, to yield my life, I'm willing to do it right now." Lord, that's what You're looking for in our lives, that closeness. The willingness, Lord, just to sell out all to You. Thank You for each and everyone here this morning. And I pray that each and every one of us has been motivated with greater zeal than we walked in here to go out and go from here and serve You even greater and do greater things in Your name. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your love and Your support, and everything that You do in our lives to bring us closer to You. It's in Your Son's precious name we pray. Amen. Hymn number 2, is that our hymn of invitation? Come thou.